does take us through Scripture. See, what we're going to do today is we're going to go all the way back to the garden when humanity separated itself from God in disobedience, and yet God still meets them and promises a Savior that's going to come and reunite them. This journey takes us to Israel, and we walk with Israel as they walk in darkness, but with this hopeful expectation of the promised coming Messiah. And then the journey will take us to this room where we will see a young girl receive an extraordinary message from the angel Gabriel. And then we will sit in a pasture with shepherds as the skies open up and hosts of angels sing glory to God in the highest. See, ultimately, this journey is the journey that takes us on a journey that shows us God's great love for humanity. And it shows us his plan of salvation that culminates in sending Jesus. See, this is a beautiful story, and I love Lessons and Carols because the story is beautiful. One of the problems, if you will, sometimes when we hear the story, is that this is a story that we're very familiar with. This is a story that we've heard over and over and over. And familiarity sometimes makes us think that we've got it all figured out. Familiarity can make us think that we really, truly understand it. Now, it's a simple story. It is. And yet, at the same time, it's very complex and rich with truths. And so this morning, my prayer for us is that as we enter into our service today, that the Lord would give us the grace to hear the story with new ears and see the story with fresh eyes and actually receive the story with newly opened hearts. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to invite you, before we begin, I want to invite you that as you're listening to the story and as you're singing the songs, I want to invite you into a posture of attention, to be paying attention to what the Lord says to you through the songs and through the scriptures. Maybe there might be a word that stands out to you in hearing one of the scriptures. Maybe there'll be a phrase or a song lyric. Or maybe there will be a scene that just, it hits you in a way that it never really has in the past. I want to encourage you to meditate on that and to hold on to that. Because maybe the Lord wants to say something to you this morning in that word or phrase or scripture passage. See, the story is familiar. At the same time, it's incredibly, incredibly beautiful, and it's rich with great living truths. See, this is the story of God's great love for us. His love for us that he didn't want to leave us where we were, but he sent Jesus to meet with us. And so my prayer this morning is that the Spirit allows us to hear it in a new way today. And so that's what I want to pray for. So I want to invite you to stand. I want to begin the morning. Let me pray for us, and we're going to begin the morning singing together. So let's pray. Father, you are good. Your mercies endure forever. Your faithfulness lasts from age to age. And so, Father, we pray that as we enter into the story of your great love for us, your great faithfulness for us, God, that you would allow us to hear it anew, that you would open our hearts so that the Spirit may just be poured out into our hearts in new and fresh ways this morning. Ultimately, God, we want to see Jesus. Father, we want to see Jesus high and lifted up. And so will you open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts, receive anew the glories of your great love for us. So be with us as we sing and as we enter in to this great journey of Scripture. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, good morning. I would like to teach a chorus to you. It's very easy to sing, and it goes like this. It's Christmas, the angels are singing, and I know the reason the Savior is born. Same melody, it's Christmas. It's Christmas, the bells are ringing. Shouting joy to the world. I feel like shouting. I feel
Reading this morning is going to come from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. as well use these. The second reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning in the verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior, the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Church, let's stand together. Upon his shoulder, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Amen. For to us a child is born.
For to us a child is born.
For to us a child is born.
The third reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning in the first verse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, holy Israel. O come, thou day spring, yeah.
Reading is found in the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning in the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, from the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting might this be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive a son in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren." The word of the Lord.
Angels sing out. The fifth reading is found in the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to his firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord.
Of all the years are met.
Not sure what to say.
I've never heard the Holy Spirit's voice.
Our sixth reading is found in the book of John, chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will or flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." The word of the Lord.
As we've been going on a journey through Advent, over the last several weeks, we have, each Sunday has had a special theme to it. The first Sunday of Advent is the theme of hope, where we look not only to the coming of the promised Messiah at Christmas, but the hope that we have in the coming Messiah at his second coming, or his second Advent, when he comes to bring in the fullness of the new creation and bring in the fullness of his kingdom. We have a hope in God's promise of that. The second Sunday of Advent is the theme of peace, where we know that Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He's the one who has come to make peace between us and God. And he's the one who, when he does come in, he's going to set all things in order and bring in the great shalom, the great peace of God. And last week we looked at the theme of joy, the joy that we have when God draws near to us, the joy that we have that overflows in our hearts because of the great love that God has given to us. And that leads to the theme of today. The great theme of today is love, the love of God. And that's what we've just heard. We've just been on a journey. We've just gone through the scriptures to see the great gift of love that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a surprising gift. It It's a very surprising gift. It seems almost impossible. But you see, our God is a God of surprises, is he not? If you remember back with Mary, she was a young girl in a room, and all of a sudden an angel just shows up out of nowhere and says, hey, guess what? You are unmarried, you are a virgin, and yet you're going to bear a child. And it's not just going to be any child. It's going to be a son who is the Son of God. The very second person of the Trinity is going to take on flesh and enter into the world through your womb. Now, you can imagine, it says she was troubled. I think that's a bit of an understatement. She was unsettled. But through it all, God was surprising her, and God was with her. But notice how she responded. It says in Luke that after she heard this announcement, and after she gave birth, and after she received this visit from all of these shepherds from out of nowhere, it says this. It says, Mary treasured up in her heart all of these things and pondered them. She didn't really know necessarily what God was up to, but she pondered. She treasured these up and she pondered. Now, I do think that there were several things that Mary did know, but did she comprehend it fully? I don't think she did. And instead of just trying to figure it all out, what did she do? She pondered. She meditated. She received this great mystery of God. And she just simply said, God, I know you're in control. God, but what is it that you're up to? God, what are you doing in my life? What are you doing in the life of the world? God, what are you up to? She pondered that. See, I say that because this morning, that was my invitation to you, to simply just enter into the story again and ponder this great mystery of God's love for us, of what he has done for us in sending Jesus. See, this is not something that we'll ever fully know the full depths of. This is a great mystery. And this Christmas, my invitation to you is to simply just stand before the mystery. Let it take deep root in your heart. Let it form you. Let it show you. Let it draw you closer to the God who loves you. See, the great mystery of God's love is this, that he loved us so much that while we were sinners, he stepped out of heaven and came to us. See, as we saw back at the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed and separated themselves from God, there was a chasm that was created between God and all of humanity. And that chasm was so wide, it was so deep, that nothing we could ever do could bridge that. No good works, no, doesn't matter how good of a person we could be, we could never bridge that gap. It was almost impossible for any created being to ever bridge that gap. And that's why God does the unthinkable. He bridges the gap for us. He becomes incarnate, takes on our flesh so that he can take us from where we are to where he is and to reunite us to him. That's the gift of love. That is the blessings that we receive at Christmas. I love the line in A Little Town of Bethlehem, that goes, God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. That's the great gift that we receive. When we receive Christ, this king who was born in a stable, when we receive him by faith at Christmas, it's a great mystery, but it's a beautiful mystery. It's a complex mystery, and yet it is so simple that just says, God loves you. And he's created a way for you to know him simply by faith. And so my prayer for you this Christmas is that maybe if you've never received Christ in your heart, that you would do that by faith this Christmas. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. My prayer for you is that God would be born anew in your hearts, that you would receive him anew today in this Christmas, and that you would just simply enter into the great mystery of the story that we've heard, the great mystery of the love of God. I encourage you to do that this week, to go back, read the passages that we've read today, read the gospel, read the birth narratives in Luke and in Matthew, and just see how great a love this God who created us has shown us in sending Jesus. And this morning we get to respond to this story by entering into it by coming around this table. This great mysterious table where we mysteriously meet Jesus, and we get to eat his body and drink his blood and get the and receive the grace for our lives. As we so my invitation to you is to come around this table today. If you are here this morning and you are a baptized Christian, regardless of the denominational background you come from, you are welcome to come and receive from this table today. However, if that's not where you are, if you're not a baptized Christian, if you're not sure where you stand before the Lord, I am so thankful that you are here and that you have heard of the story of God's great love for you. And I long for the day that you could join us around the table, but today it's not appropriate to do that. So when we are dismissed by Rose, I invite you to, if you want to remain seated, you can. But I also want to invite you that if you're comfortable, to come and let one of the servers pray a blessing over you, that God would meet you where you are and reveal himself to you. Because we are coming around this table that is a picture of the great salvation of what God has done. Because remember, Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up and in our flesh, he takes our sins, he nails it to the cross, and he sheds his blood for our salvation. But on the night before he was arrested, he gathered in the upper room with his disciples, and they shared a meal together. And after supper, he took bread and he gave thanks and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said to them, he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. And whenever you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." And then he took a cup of wine, and he also gave thanks, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." And so, Father, we come to you this morning in gratitude around this table of great thanksgiving. We offer to you these gifts, and we ask that you would sanctify them by your word and by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would sanctify us also, that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament and be made one with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And we ask that in the fullness of time that you would put all things in subjection under your Christ, our Messiah, and bring us with all your saints to the joy of your heavenly kingdom, where we shall see our Lord face to face. Friends, as we come around the table, remember that these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. So take them and receive on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Thank you. Well, friends, please join me in giving a round of applause to our worship team. Fantastic job, guys. Fantastic job. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, friends, the only announcement that I have for you as we go from here is just to remember that Christmas Eve is coming up this Thursday evening, and we've got two services, both at 4:30 and 6 o'clock. They're going to both be here or broadcast online on Facebook and in YouTube. But I just want to encourage you as you go throughout this week to continue to enter into this story of God's great love. And as you're entering into the story, remember to keep praying. Maybe there's someone in your life that the Lord is laying on your heart who also needs to hear this great story of God's great love for them. And to just issue just a simple invitation to come on Christmas Eve and to hear just the greatness of what God has done for them. Well, friends, as we go, receive this blessing. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming in power and glory, may he make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.